All right, welcome everyone to Free Markets Green Earth. I am Mickey P here as always with Ben the Liberty Hippie. We have a guest this week. We have Elizabeth Melton, and this is going to be a fun conversation. I don't know even what to expect because I've never met Elizabeth before. But Ben tells me that she hates the EPA even more than I do, which I don't think is possible. But we're going to put that to the test today.
Yeah.
Let's hear what evil she's aware of that I'm not. So take it away, Ben.
We'll figure it all out. Yeah. So no, I figured she'd been on my show a couple times. And I thought, you know, in terms of a guest, why not have Elizabeth on? So Elizabeth, thank you for hanging out.
Well, she sounds like somebody who knows stuff, which is always a nice to have.
And that's that. Yeah. Cause you know, if you've listened to any of my shows, you realize that's what it is. Like, I don't know anything and I just have people that know everything and there they go. So here we go. Elizabeth, welcome. Thank you for.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So I think the big thing that kind of like made me say, hey, what about her? So you're running for PSC, which for people that don't know is Public Service Commissioner down here in Georgia.
That is correct.
And I don't know, it's a funny thing because like nobody knows anything about it. Like, what does this mean? I have no idea. I have no idea what this person does.
Right.
And like, you're broken up into districts, but anybody across the state can vote for anyone or something like that? Or, I mean, you know, it's...
Right. It's kind of a strange setup. Yeah. So yeah, there are 5 districts and I'm running for District 1. However, so you must reside in the district in which you're running, but anybody all over the state votes for all the districts. And it's interesting because there's actually a lawsuit going on right now that is basically in opposition to that policy because they're saying that you can't really get adequate representation that represents your district when everybody all over the state gets to decide.
Yeah.
But as of right now, that's the way it is.
And it's like all those people up in New York State outside of the city, you know, that have a bunch of people in a major U.S. city making all the decisions for every small town 400 miles away.
Like the people that don't live in cities and along the coast, you mean? Like that? Yeah. Yeah. That's, I don't know. All right. That's curious there. What do you do? What let's say you're elected. What does a PSC do? What do you guys actually do?
Well, there are certain utilities that get a state-sanctioned monopoly. And the electric Georgia Power primarily, there are some small electric cooperatives that don't fall under the public service. But for the most part, electricity, natural gas, and landline telephones.
Okay.
And since hardly anyone uses a landline phone anymore, that's not really relevant. So at the end of the day, it is primarily Georgia Power.
Okay. So what is that? I have an idea, but I'm curious, how does that work in terms of this Georgia Power monopoly, as you called it? Like, what does that look like? How does that, do you know how that breaks down?
Well, if you have a monopoly, of course, then that particular company can just do whatever they choose to do to the consumer. So the Public Service Commission is supposed to be the buffer between the public and the utility company that looks out for the ratepayer.
Okay.
So if you don't have any options, then and if Georgia Power weren't regulated, then they could just charge whatever they wanted, do whatever they wanted. And the Public Service Commission is supposed to be the body that stops that from happening.
Gotcha. So you're the person that protects the people from the monopoly that's protected by the state, right? Because
right.
If I go try to start my own gas company, I guarantee you Georgia's going to say no.
Right. Well, and like I said, there are electric cooperatives out there. In fact, I have a farm and that particular farm operates under an electric cooperative, but in town, and most urban areas are under Georgia Power.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. What is that? Do you know what those are? The cooperatives, how those work? Are they still, I assume they still are regulated the same way? You know, it, Georgia Power is, they still have to go through the same, I don't know. They're still essentially a monopoly. Like, I feel like, cause I think I have a Coney EMC, they're a cooperative, right?
Right.
And I don't have a choice. I don't believe that I have a choice. If I wanted to go to use Georgia Power or somebody else, I don't have a choice. Yes, I still have this cooperative that I work with, but...
Right, right. Well, one thing about it, though, is that as part of the cooperative, you have a little bit more say-so. And I'm vaguely familiar with that there was a particular cooperative where the people that operated underneath of it were very, very unhappy with the way it was run, and they fired them. So you're still kind of, I guess it's maybe a similar metaphor would be like a homeowners association. They can still be tyrannical, but you do have some say-so over who gets to be your tyrant, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. I get that.
Well, you do understand logistically why you only have one electrical service provider, though, right, Matt? Right, Ben?
No, I get that. I understand that. To a degree, I think there are ways to do it that don't require everybody on the same line has the same provider. I forget where I heard somebody talking about it. I don't know, but because there's different ways to tie in and kind of basing that all. Whether you pay, I want to get energy from whoever it may be, right? Wind, solar, farm. Inc. And I want to buy it from them. And so they pay like a premium to use the lines that Georgia Power runs. And then I have to, I pay that premium and it may be more expensive, but I still get my power from where I want it to be, supposedly, right? Or whatever. I guess at that point, it just offsets everything.
Well, I don't know if you guys have watched the video that Thomas Massey made about his setup, the congressman who...
Don't get me so excited.
Ray runs his entire home off of like a Tesla battery and has like the roof is solar. But because he uses that Tesla battery, of course, he is an engineer and has the know-how to do that. But he is able to do that. And we may not have the technology for everybody to do that at this point, but it just seems to me like that should be the way of the future.
It's not the technology that's actually the problem with that. It's the cost of the batteries. And
right.
And that is all tied up in the fact that there's a lot of geopolitical stuff and the scarcity of the very, very dangerous stuff inside those batteries. Not to mention the fact that we really, really wreck up a couple other countries to make those batteries.
Yes.
As an environmentalist, it is one of those things like one of the grim realities of everything that kind of pushes us ahead technologically butts up against a certain, not very pretty side of things on that respect. Ben, I was just asking because as an electrician, I was just kind of curious if you gathered why it functions the way it does.
Yeah, my father, he worked for NIMO. You know NIMO. He worked for NIMO in his early years, then went on to do some other engineering things and yes, we've discussed that at length. Why, okay. you know, you have 8 million like companies running lines everywhere and it gets crazy. And okay.
Basically, all of the roads are 200 degrees, even in the Arctic, because there's so many heat transferring cables running around them.
I get it. All right. But at the same time, there are ways. And I think if you sat back and looked from a perspective of someone that wanted to, change it and not just accept it. Okay, Georgia Power, cool. I'll take it from them or this co-op over here. Like, you know, if you want a choice, I think there's ways to advocate for that. But anyway, so you're there, you're regulating all that. What is that? I'm just curious. What does that election look like? What does that running look like? I mean, what do you compare to your like opponents, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? Right, like how does this all fall out? What's your argument? What's your platform? I guess I don't know.
Well, this has been a very interesting year. I know that at the beginning of the year, what I had in my mind that I was going to do as a candidate has been very different from what I have actually done, and we're just now getting to the point where the idea of actively campaigning it just was a farthest thing from anyone's mind. I think,
yeah.
Because you can't be out on the road talking to people the way that you would like to. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet, actually.
Yeah. So how did you get roped into it? Were you just like, please pick me, raising your hand. I want to go protect the people from, you know.
No, no, not at all. I actually, this is an act of service. And I think that most libertarians that run for office kind of do so as an act of service. I think that's a big reason why we are kind of in the mess that we're in, is because the people that run for office tend to be the kind of people that enjoy telling everyone else what to do and enjoy the feeling of power and domination that they get. It's a career path for them.
Yeah.
And so the people that basically are like, I just kind of want to be left alone. They don't seek those positions.
Right.
And because they don't seek them, that's what we end up with. So
we move to a lottery system.
unless we have people that are like, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. That's what we're going to end up with. But yeah, I was recruited, actually. I didn't used to do it. I was recruited, but I'm happy to do it if I'm needed.
Yeah.
Just like Massey, didn't want to do it, but, you know, they kept bugging him. And he's like, well, you know, I guess.
Fine. Twist my arm. In the beginning, it was just you and a Democrat. Is that right?
The Republican, the incumbent is a Republican.
Okay.
This board has been dominated by Republicans for ages.
Okay. So there's three people in the race then at this point?
Yeah, there's three people now.
Okay. And what, I mean, how does it fall out differently, right? If it's like
So we had John Mons, he is known as the libertarian that got over 1 million votes because he ran as a libertarian against Republican for this very race, Public Service Commission District 1, and he did really well. But you know that how people are, they generally don't want to be bothered with learning about politics or what people represent. So they just go in and they check the R or they check the D.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really pay any attention to what anyone has to say or what their platform is. They just assume, this is my tribe, this is who I vote for.
Yeah.
And you know, that's so basically, it doesn't matter what you do when you're in there. You feel secure in the fact that if you're a Democrat, you're going to get the Democrat vote. Or if you're a Republican, you're going to get the Republican vote. You would have to do something really, really egregious to have people cross that boundary for the most part.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I've not until I think it was last election, I heard about the PSC, and I had no idea like what it was or who it was and what it even did. But just because it seems like one of those positions, right, where you wouldn't think that it would have any sort of party backing. I can't remember the word right now, but you'd think that it would just be neutral, right? Like, because you're just here.
Yeah, that it shouldn't even have a party.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a party affiliation. Yeah, kind of like the mayors and city council. Yeah, and so
forth. Yeah, right. Non-partisan, I think that was what I was looking for.
Right.
Never miss a branding opportunity, Ben. That's the rule.
I don't know. I just, you know, I try. But so you're doing that. You get to be, District 1 Public Service Commissioner, looking out for all the people come November. I appreciate your hard work there. All right. So can you fight the EPA from the PSC?
No. No, not really.
Well, how about this? What would you plan on doing day one from that position?
Georgia Power has decided that it needs additional funds to deal with the crisis, because it has had to do things like buy face masks and hand sanitizer.
Wait a minute. So Georgia Power has been buying like face masks and crap, and we need to pay for that? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. So
Jesus.
Commissioner Tricia Primore decided that because Georgia Power has had these extra expenses, that they need to be able to go up on rates, and the ratepayers should help them to recoup their COVID costs. So, yes, there are several million dollars.
I love it. Cannot make that up. You cannot make that. This is absurd.
Well, right. There's a silver lining here. And the silver lining is that since no one's going to have jobs, there's not going to be any taxes. So, I mean, they're not going to end up paying it either.
See, this is all very interesting because you have a whole nation full of people who are struggling because the economy has been destroyed because everyone has been, imprisoned in their homes for months on end. And a lot of people are out of work. So Georgia Power, there was a moratorium to where they couldn't cut off people's power. And then that ended July the 15th. Of course, if you lost your job, you probably haven't had the opportunity to be out looking and you're probably still unemployed. If you're not unemployed, then you're still trying to catch up. But they are concerned about, those masks and hand sanitizer and cleaners and stuff like that they had to pay for. There was something about meal vouchers for workers in there, too. So they decided, let's let Georgia Power go up on rates so that they can recoup these costs. Well, there are small business owners and people struggling everywhere because the government has forced them to close. And no one is looking out for them. No one is trying to help them get back on their feet, but they voted to allow Georgia Power to go up on rates to get these costs. So no matter what happens, they are not going to lose.
Yeah, that's just so standard.
And so in answer to your question, what I would do from day one is I would vote no when things like that came across my radar screen.
So you're just going to be like the no lady, just vote no all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh. Do it so much, eventually it just becomes fun.
The Ron Paul of the Public Service Commission.
Oh, man. That's crazy. That's crazy to me just to think about that. Like, what other, company is subsidized like that,
And Exactly.
It makes you understand, like, on such a bigger level, how much these utilities really, it's just like all these things are government run, right? Like, it's subsidized by the taxpayer, by the government. Like, that's all it is. Like, if you had any doubt that any of this stuff was out of the government's reach, there you go. Where they're getting money to pay for masks and hand sanitizer. Good Lord.
Yeah. And so also they are going to allow, if you got behind on your bill, they're going to give you a few months to catch up. And if are unable to catch up, if there are any funds that they have not been able to get back, if they end up losing money because people just don't have jobs and don't pay their bills, then it has already been decided that all that money is going to go into a rate increase for everybody else the next time around.
So what you're telling me is I shouldn't pay my light bill?
Well, if you don't pay your light bill, they'll cut it off. But
I got a generator. As long as I get lights and then, it's just absurd.
Just to be clear, though. So in what you're telling me is that they're going to now charge people more so that they can pollute more. Because that's all I hear about with all that PPE stuff. I just think in my head, wow, look at all this stuff that's going to end up in a landfill in an ocean.
Right.
It's not going to end up. It's going to land. Yeah. No landfill. It's not going to a landfill.
Yeah.
It's going in a sewer drain.
Like all those rubber gloves, all those masks, like all those fibers, all of those petrochemical created things.
It's funny you should mention that because I just saw an image just like within the last hour that showed the picture of a mask lying on the ground that said the cigarette butt of 2020.
Please find a way to get me that meme.
Send it to me and I'll get it to Nikki. I like that.
I think I posted it in our Liberty group. So, okay. Yeah.
I'll go find it. I haven't been on the Facebook for a while. I'm trying to wean myself off, but whew, I like that. It's spicy. All right. So let's, I guess, go for the EPA. Talking about pollution. Why isn't government like the reason, right? Why isn't it something like the EPA or some state body like the PSC necessarily what we need to actually bring pollution down? I guess. What is it that fails? If that makes sense.
Well, if you own property, and there are exceptions to this, but if the property belongs to you, you have an incentive to care for it. If it belongs to everyone, you have less of an incentive, and that's why people will clean out their car in a parking lot and dump the trash on the ground because they don't want the trash in their car, but they don't care if it's out there for everyone else to have to deal with. Just kind of human nature that which you own, you care for. And it may not be right. It would be lovely if everyone had that community spirit to think of the collective above all, but that's just not the way that it tends to work in reality. And then when you add something like the EPA into it, well, they have all sorts of friends, and they're not going to give their friends a hard time. They're going to give the little guy a hard time. And so this is why they harass people for cleaning out drainage ditches on their own property because they have destroyed a wetland. are you guys familiar with that story?
I'm not, but yeah, wetlands. That's all you got to say. Anybody that knows anything, you say wetlands and it's just like, yep. Okay.
You were treating it as if it was a singular.
So this couple wanted to build a house. And their property was flooding because there was a drainage ditch that was clogged up with wood and debris and so forth. And they asked the county to come out and clear it so that they could build their house. And they were like, look, it's going to take a long time for us to get to this. And so the guy said, look, can I just do it myself? And they're like, sure, go ahead. So he clears out this drainage ditch so it can drain properly. And the EPA starts fining them, I mean, incredible, like tens of thousands of dollars each week or something of that nature for destroying a wetland. And it just financially ruined this couple. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you have Smithfield Farms, who they have a huge lake of blood and urine and feces that they spray in the air on the surrounding community. Basically, a blind eye is turned to that, and they're just harassing people for minor things. In fact, I know personally have spoken to a man who was like an earth mover and had some piles of dirt on his property, and somebody knocked on his door and said, you are in violation for just piling dirt. And he's like, what are you talking about? Well, that's a dry creek bed running by your house. So he went to court and fought it, but it got to the point where it's like, I don't have money for lawyers anymore. Yeah. So he just gave in. It took like all of his retirement. And I think he said it was just a couple of weeks after all this was resolved, they changed the rule so that what it was that he was doing was no longer forbidden to do.
See, that's one of those things, right? Like everybody, just go fight it, right? If you did nothing wrong, go to court, take it to court, right? Like,
oh my goodness.
Your funds are limited, right? The government has unlimited funds. And guess what? They're taking it from you at the same time. And they're, you know, it's just, get out of here with that nonsense. Like, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd. You take the government to court, see what happens.
I'm still back here where she was saying that, you know, if you people can own property, and we all know that you can't own property in the U.S. So this is just your friendly reminder, folks, that anywhere eminent domain exists, you can't own anything.
Or property taxes.
Yeah. No, it's a big one. That's part of the reason we came down here. Was property taxes were so much less, you know. But they still exist, and you're right. There's no place you're going to go without them.
Ben, we need to come up with a book, just a little pamphlet, and I want Elizabeth's help on this. Horror stories of the EPA.
Yeah, there's going to be a million of them.
I'm sure.
I forget where it came from. I don't know if it was my dad knew somebody, or it was somebody that I had heard working with. I did an internship with the Soil and Water Conservation District in upstate New York. But like, there was a beaver that was clogging up a drainage ditch, right? And it kept coming back and clogging up this drainage ditch and made a wetland where there was no wetland before. It was just a stream, and now it's a freaking pond, right? The guy couldn't get rid of it. And this is New York State, where like maybe once upon a time beavers were maybe endangered, quote endangered, whatever that means, but they're not anymore. And now they're a nuisance, but you can't get rid of them because state says no. And if you get rid of them, guess what? Finds out the wazoo, you're going to be in trouble. Like it's like crazy, man. But that's how it is everywhere. And you don't realize it until you actually stop and think for a minute.
That's why you eat the evidence, Ben.
I've heard beaver tail soup is delicious. I've not tried it, but I've heard. Heard.
Well, I think a lot of this gets back to, as well, when people talk about the big corporation and that, well, if we didn't have the EPA, the big corporations would be getting away with this and that. But they are getting away with this and that because they don't pick on them, because those are the ones that contribute to political campaigns and so forth.
Well, the way that I explain it to people is that, you know, what all the EPA is it's the entity that handles the taxes on those companies, because they don't want no pollution. The government wants pollution because the pollution is how they make their money. They take their fine, because all fines are is their cut. So they don't want there. It's not in their interest.
Well, they're the big, yeah. And they're the biggest poof. They're the biggest polluter that there is the government itself. Yeah. But right. No one goes to jail. It's not like if you violate this, you go to jail. No, you just pay the fine, and that's never directly out of anyone's pocket. That is,
it's out of my pocket and your pocket and your pocket.
Well, more importantly, it's not directly going to anyone that's going to be harmed by it. It goes to the government.
Exactly.
That's so they can pass stronger rules so you can't kill beavers. Come on, guys. Like,
yeah,
it's for more intense laws. You got to pay the lawmakers.
No, you always follow the incentives. And so you've created a situation where you and I have to pay more. The company's just going to raise their prices to handle the fines. And the government doesn't want the fines to go away. It's in their incentive to keep those fines going. So they're always going to negotiate them at whatever deal works out best for the company.
Right.
I would prefer to be able to sue the company into oblivion, personally. I think we'd accomplish much more.
And obviously, they're making more money from what they're doing than they are from paying the fine, or they wouldn't be doing it.
It's a negotiated thing. All those rules that are written by the company, saying, okay, well, this is what we can stomach and still maintain work.
Or someone that, you know, worked with the company. Like you look at Monsanto and how that's so tied in, right? Like, I don't work for Monsanto right now, but, you know. I got that nice retirement package. And
people view that, it's like they view that as capitalism. Well, that is capitalism. Well, no, it's not, because those are capitalism opening up a bakery. It's not Walmart selling cupcakes in their bakery. It's you opening a bakery on Main Street. But they've made it so difficult to do that, you know, Walmart makes what we're left with. And people don't seem to understand.
Nikki said something before. It's one of those things kind of like I think about from time to time. You know, when you think about monopolies, right? And then people talk about the ills of capitalism and Amazon and Walmart and all these really big companies. And like the simple fact of it is, like, if you didn't have government protecting those companies, giving them, you know, deals with the post office, you know, subsidizing, you know, their roads or whatever else they're subsidizing, you wouldn't have them. They wouldn't exist, right? Or they'd be much smaller.
Exactly.
Or, you know, like if, you know, there wasn't a rift between Macintosh or Apple and whatever, IBM, Android, and, you know, what shape you make your phone and what's, you know, property righted and all that nonsense, you wouldn't have these issues, right? Somebody would be able to crack into that. And
a historical monopoly has never existed in a free market. It just can't. It's they've been concerned that they would, but they never last. I think it was it Standard Oil, or was it U.S. Steel was the one? I think it was Standard Oil that they started the antitrust lawsuit on them. And by when they did it, they were at 79% because they found a new technology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And by the time the lawsuit actually went to court, they only had 30% market share.
Right. And that's the thing, is if someone gets too much control, then innovation is going to find a way to go around it. Mm-hmm. If you allow that and if you foster that kind of thing. But I like to, because I know a lot of times when people, they talk about minimum wage laws and how horrible it is that someone works all these hours at the big box store and they can't support themselves. And I'm always thinking and arguing, well, why? You're going to get them a higher wage, but they're still working that horrible job. Why don't you just support deregulation so they don't have to work for the big box store? And it's like a simple thing. And I like the example that I often use when I talk to people of the bakery. It's like, if you are working and you are a talented person that's really good at baking cakes and decorating cakes, imagine if you could just take your own personal cake orders and do that out of your house. And they make it so difficult with there's so much paperwork where you have to hire an accountant now. It's too much for an individual to handle all of that and work, do the work too. And imagine if you didn't have zoning laws. Imagine if you had a bakery with an apartment on top.
Oh my God.
Didn't have to pay for a house and a facility.
You're gonna make people live above bakery?
I would love to live above my business. If I had a business, I would want to be there all the
time. This sounds wholly unsanitary. you're talking about having a home above a bakery. Next thing you know, you're gonna have a guy in a chair. You're dumping the bodies down in there to make your meat pies.
Well, okay.
My kid has been into baking a lot lately. He's wanted to start his own like business nonstop, right? And I mean, that's what most kids, I imagine that's what most kids like want to do when they're 10, 12 years old. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he really wants to like get into this baking thing and wants to go sell it at the farmer's market. And it's like I tried to talk to him and we're looking at some of the things and some of the regulations that go behind it. And like, you know, what can you actually make? Like, what can you actually sell at a farmer's market? What can we sell at our home?
You're approaching this the wrong way, Ben. You need to let him do what he wants and then let the state come for him. And that will be the greatest lesson he can learn. That will teach him the reality of what the state is real quick.
He's learned I've taught him. He knows. Like he sees it already. He sees it already.
Do you think it's going to be as visceral as that? You think that?
I'd rather him not have a record at the age of like 12. You know, but
he's like, I just don't want to pay the fine. Can we just move past? I'm poor. I don't want to deal with this shit.
Yeah, pretty much. But even that, man, like the farmer's market that they have in a public space, right? It's a public space, and you have to like apply for a permit. Now there's no paid permit, right? You don't have to pay for it, so it's just a permit. But you got to, you know, get your vendor's license or whatever. But it's like the same people week in and week out, and they just, you know, there's no room for new people, and like. Because like, hey, let's go start a farmer's market over here. Let's just like tell some people to show up. I'm like, all right. I like how you're thinking this. This is, you know, just forget it. Why do we need them? Why do we need these like
garage sale?
You know, yeah, right. Like, well, we live out in the middle of nowhere, so we can't do it. We got to find like a public park to go, like, you know, park our van and sell our Krispy Kremes out the back for $12 a dozen.
Is that how garage sales work down in Georgia? Because you could be 50 miles out of town up here and you put up a sign that says garage sale and you're going to get people, I promise.
I don't know. I'm not a big garage sale guy. Like I live out like, you know, I'm like 20 minutes from town and I live on like a horseshoe road and there's no reason for people to come down here. And like, it doesn't matter. I mean, he sold like multiple things to the same neighbor. He sold hot tea one time in the middle of summer. Because my neighbor felt bad for me. I'm like, okay. He's a good dude. I like my neighbor. It's like, man, at least tell him to put some ice in it. But
I have the opposite luck.
Yeah?
I'm a yard sale jinx. People who have wonderful yard sales have horrible yard sales when I join in. So I've never had luck with doing that.
Well, look, the yard sale is just how you get them there to buy the baked goods. They're like, hey, look at this crap in my garage. Oh, wait. Or I have delicious baked treats over here. You had $5 in your pocket. Which way is it going, folks? Just saying.
Treats every single time. But yeah, anyway, I don't know.
I live in a city proper, so my kid's screwed either way. Irmo asks me every day about starting a lemonade stand. And I'm like, honey, you'll go to jail.
You should just let her do it and just let her get the, you know, let her go to jail. You can take her over, right? Get her bailed out.
Ben, my daughter's black. She'll get shot.
Fair enough, I suppose.
Like literally, you remember Tamir Rice? He was shot in a park that my daughter goes to.
Oh God, I remember that. I knew that was up your direction. I didn't know it was that close. But well, on that note, anything else you want to tell us, Elizabeth?
No, you know, the Public Service Commission is a very limited, very narrowly focused role. So yeah, there's not a whole lot beyond that to talk about.
It's a good one though. Like I wish like that, like since this whole coup thing came down, I really like my stance on politics has changed a fair bit. A lot, you know, just if you're going to do anything, like do it local. Right. Like it's local. No, nothing is ever going to happen like big scale, and running big scale is not going to do anything. Right. You're like, things are so bifurcated. It does not matter what you say. It's just, you know, so take care of your community. Right. Like take care of the people around you and your community. And that's like, I feel like that's kind of like that position. That's what it's for, right? And I feel like I wish more people got involved in those and knew about those sort of things that existed. But that's me. Anyway. Elizabeth, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it.
And I appreciate the opportunity to spread the word.
Yeah, when you're PSC for District 1, you'll have to come back on. Tell us what it's really like inside of that swanky office, getting your kickback from Georgia Power and, you know, living the dream.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All of a sudden, Elizabeth becomes a Republican. you just peel away the corner of that little L and it becomes an R, the dollar bill sign behind it.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Well, I always tell people, like, I mean, that's the problem with libertarians as a political party for sure. It's like, if they ever become viable, they're just going to become the new Republicans because all the money that pays for Republicans is going to move over there.
Or if they're a Republican and they become non-viable, then they put the little sticker on top of their R and become an L and hope they can get like a vice presidency and, you know, or whatever else.
Oh, good Lord. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on, Elizabeth. I know we're thank some you. Rough and rowdy boys here, but it was a fun conversation. And I'm always happy to talk to anyone that sees the EPA for the horrible scam and money laundering situation that it is.
Yes. Well, thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate it.
Good night.
This podcast is a proud creation of the Mad Audio Lab. For more information, check out madaudiolab.com. Free Markets Green Earth is part of the Liberty Hippie Podcast Network. If you like what we do, be sure to check out Homesteads and Homeschools, Peace Freaks, Cannabis Heals Me, and This Week in Liberpods. We're living proof that libertarian doesn't mean washed up Republican.